Hour number two, DVD, here on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan today. No Willie Donick as well. D-Mace is here. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Great first hour. Talked a little Preds, little Titans. Checked in with Chase McCabe out there at the Golden Hall Luncheon, as we heard from Predators legends Shea Weber and Pekka Rinne. We're going to have Jonathan Hutton from Outkick on with us in a little bit. Do want to remind you, if you want to chime in, you can text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We talked a lot of Dion in the first hour there, D-Mace. I had a thought in the last break that I didn't hear you guys touch on as much yesterday, but Abdul Carter with Penn State, you brought him up as one of those top four guys who could be in contention for the number one pick if the Titans elect to stick and pick. Thoughts on that? Because we've seen it before. The example that I've kind of used is the Browns in 2017. They were a quarterback needy team. They did not have a franchise quarterback. They elected not to take Mitch Trubisky or Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. They took Myles Garrett. Could it be a situation like that with the Titans if they don't like any of these quarterbacks, that you take a guy like Abdul Carter, who we saw last week in that game against Notre Dame, even though Penn State lost, he can be a game wrecker on the edge, and that's something the Titans haven't had in a very long time.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, this guy, what he's just in the playoffs alone, what he's been able to do, and how he has been effective at rushing a quarterback for the Penn State Nittany Lions. Obviously, you know, they lost last week, but it wasn't, you know, because Abdul Carter didn't show up. He showed up, and he showed up big. He's one of those guys that's like a Michael Parsons, 6'2". 250, somewhere around there. Michael Parsons may be a little bit bigger than him, but what he possesses is the same thing that Michael Parsons possess, is go get the quarterback, the speed, the ability to dip your hips, get underneath blockers, not just get to the quarterback, but also affect the run game. He's one of those guys that can, if you want me to rush, I can rush. But if you want me to stop the run, I can stop the run as well. So there's not too many guys out there that come along like that every year. Obviously, when you see a talent like that, if that, it may not even be a position of need. It just may be the best player
right
there, you know, and you take him. You can't pass up a guy like that. Why? Because the quarterbacks are becoming too mobile and too good at improvising. You need somebody on the other side that can get to the quarterback, that can be sort of mobile or athletic, that can improvise on the run. You need guys like that, that can stop quarterbacks like a Lamar, like a Josh Allen, guys that are very good when they carry the football.
And in the AFC, where you mentioned those guys, Lamar, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you need to be able to affect the quarterback. And the Titans, Harold Landry is a he is an above-average pass rusher, and he has been his entire career here. Harold Landry's a really good player. But I don't think Harold Landry, when teams open up their game plan for the Titans, I don't think the first thing they talk about is Harold Landry. He's not T.J. Watt. He's not Myles Garrett. He's not even Trey Hendrickson. He's a good player. But, man, if you could get a guy like Abdul Carter, I think that could change your defense. However, and we're going to ask the question to all of you out there, what is your ideal situation for the Titans this offseason? What do you think they should do with the number one pick and at quarterback? We want to hear from you. Again, 615-737-1025. I can't get behind sticking at number one and picking Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. I think it's so rare to get the number one pick. It's only happened once for the Titans in the last 40 years. You have to either get your franchise quarterback, or who you think your franchise quarterback is, or set yourself up to get that guy next year. So that's either taking him or trading back. But I think in a trade back scenario, my favorite spot would be with the Giants at three. Because if the Giants are desperate for a quarterback And they've got, you know, they've got Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, who their jobs are on very thin ice. Mm-hmm. They need to go get a quarterback. They move up. You get their first round pick next year. You're going to see quarterbacks go 1 and 2, and then you can still get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. I think that's my favorite scenario. Obviously, the Giants would have to be interested as well. But I think if the Titans don't like these quarterbacks, that's the best way to go about it. You trade back, you get draft capital, but you don't move back far enough that you don't get one of these elite players at the top of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's in an ideal situation, you would love for because you understand that the needs on his team are multiple. So, yeah, it would be great to, you know, stay with the number one pick and take a quarterback, and everybody's like, okay, great, we got us a quarterback. That's what a team, if the Titans did that 3 years ago or 4 years ago, great. Great, because now we have our future quarterback surrounded with Derrick Henry, guys like that, possibly A.J. Brown. Let's just say, throw that in the scenario. So I can stay at number one, draft a quarterback, and be fine with it. You know, but the Titans are not in that position anymore. They are in a position of, hey, we need a lot of pieces. You know, we got to build this team back up, which we've been saying on this show for the last 2 years. The roster isn't good, and they need to build it up. So I'm sure that was the goal last year, but all of a sudden now it's this new thing. We got to build through the draft. You know, we got to get the talent in, allow the talent to grow and become who they're going to be, and then sign up to a second contract. That should have been a goal the whole time, okay? But now you're in a position where you got the number one pick. You just don't need a quarterback, so what do? You move out of it, and you may be right. The Giants may be the ideal spot to move into. Three, where you're still in a position to, if they take one of the quarterbacks, whoever it is, whichever quarterback it is, they take one of the quarterbacks, you're still in a position potentially to get the second or Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Because right now, I think New England has a second pick.
Cleveland.
Cleveland has a second pick. Now, Cleveland may go for a quarterback. You just never know.
Right.
So you got to strategically place yourself in a position. If you see one of these quarterbacks, I think top five guy, you got to position yourself well enough to where if you don't get your top guy, you get the next guy. If you have both of these guys fairly equal,
yeah,
and you like them both, well, you got to still stay in a position to get them because – the second place team, they need a quarterback. Cleveland, they need a quarterback. So will they go for the guy that, say, the Giants may not draft? If you move out of that number one spot, you got to think in your mind, I either believe one or two things. They got to be thinking, okay, we've scouted these two quarterbacks, and neither one of them, or at least one of them, is a top five guy. The other guy is, you know, 7 to 15, somewhere in that range. If you're getting the consensus, then you got a little leeway to move down. But if these are the top two guys and people are saying they're going 1-2, how far down can you move if you want one of those guys?
I don't think you can move down at all if you want one of those guys. Like, we saw it with the Titans.
If you're hell-bent on getting one of them.
Right. Jared mentioned it in 2023 when the Titans picked Skoronski, that – they could have taken Levis there, and they didn't, which meant that they didn't truly believe that he was a franchise quarterback. If you trade out of number one, that means you don't believe in these quarterbacks enough to take them at number one, and you probably shouldn't take one. If you're trading out, I think that means you're signing a bridge quarterback, and you're going to try again in 2026 when maybe it's Arch Manning. Again, he hasn't played a full season. I don't want to say Arch Manning is the number one pick next year. Maybe it's Nico. He didn't have a great year this year, but obviously
maybe
a lot
Carson
of talent.
Maybe it's Carson Beck because he's staying another year.
If the Titans draft Carson Beck in 2026, I think there might be a mass exodus of Titans fans. I mean, he was – I always go back to Trevor Maddich. This was about midway through the season. He was going through Carson Beck's stats when he was under pressure versus not. And when he wasn't under pressure, it was really good. His quarterback rating when he was under pressure was like 3.
Oh, wow.
really bad.
Which means it would be negative in the NFL.
Yes. So not Carson Beck. But I know Drew Aller, even though he didn't have a great game last week, he's been a guy who's been talked about as maybe having the traits to be an NFL quarterback. Garrett Nussmeier from LSU is another guy. There seems to be at least a grouping of quarterbacks who are being brought up as possible first-round picks next year. Somebody will separate themselves during the season. And who knows? It could be somebody we're not even talking about. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow in 2019, heading into that season, Joe Burrow was projected to be like a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
And he obviously had one of the greatest seasons by a quarterback in college football history and ends up going number one overall. So you have no idea what the draft class is going to look like next year. But it comes down to, do you believe that either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward can be your franchise quarterback? If the answer is yes, you have to take him. Because if you do trade back thinking, well, maybe somebody's going to come up for Travis Hunter, maybe the Browns don't like the quarterbacks, and maybe if we move down to three, we can still get one. That's not a risk you can take if you think your franchise quarterback is on the board.
No, but, I mean, you could also be in a position because, listen, we got to understand that, you know, just look at last year's class. At first, it was just, you know, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. And then all of a sudden, there started to be these other quarterbacks, and then Bo Nix, and then this quarterback. And then you look at it, and there's, what, four or five guys drafted within a top 12.
Six quarterbacks in the top 12 last year.
Top 12. So I don't think many predicted that six would go in the top 12 last season.
No.
You know, but then as the draft started going, it was like, okay, as we started to get closer and closer to the NFL draft, it was like, okay, there may be more than just, you know, the top two or three guys that end up going in the first half of the NFL draft. So it may end up being the same way here, where right now we're only talking about two guys. But then
there
you got a Jackson Dart,
you got
a Rourke from Indiana. You got Milroe.
Quinn Ewers declared for the draft today.
You know, you got these other quarterbacks that we may see warts in them, but we understand the NFL, and the longer you are from the draft, the more they get to convince themselves that those warts are no longer warts anymore.
Milroe's the one that I think is going to – I don't know if he'll be a first-round pick, but somebody's going to take a flyer on Jalen Milroe because he's going to go out at the combine and run a ridiculous 40 time. And he'll probably, in his pro day, make some crazy throws – like Zach Wilson at BYU a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I think Milroe is going to be the fool's gold quarterback of this draft. They're going to ignore the tape of some horrible games he had this year and look at the intangibles and say, maybe we can teach him to be more accurate and be a better decision maker.
Who do you think will be the team that would take the fly on him?
I would think it's going to be somebody who passes on a quarterback early. Mm-hmm. You know, the New York Jets, I think, would be a team that would do that because the Jets are picking at 7, I believe, which is probably too far back for them to get a quarterback. They've already traded draft capital to get Devontae Adams in there. They could be a team that takes a Tet McMillan in the first round or something like that, or an offensive lineman, Kelvin Banks, and then comes back and says, you know what, let's take a flyer on Jalen Milroe early in the second round. I don't know.
It just depends. I mean, you know, a lot of it is, you know, obviously dictated on, you know, how the first, you know, 5-6 picks go. And I'm not just talking about the actual pick. I'm talking about the jockeying from, you know, one spot to the next. Trying to move up, or the Titans trying to move down. Again, you know, if you don't see Shedeur or Cam as guys that are worthy of that top five pick, not let alone the number one pick, but a top five pick, then you try to move out of that space, but it's still able, because again, you don't want to move too far where you can't get an impact player.
Yeah.
And this year, it may be even a shorter list in regards to how far you can move down to get an impact player. Because if you got a number one pick, you still, if you trade out of it or not, you still want to be able to get an impact player.
Yeah, and it is a short list. I know TD's kind of gone through the guys he thinks is up there. I think if you like the quarterbacks, mm-hmm. I think that's definitely two of them. Then Carter, Travis Hunter, mm-hmm. Tet McMillan. I don't want to forget anybody.
Wide receiver out of what am I thinking? Out of is it Arizona?
Yeah, Tet McMillan out of Arizona.
You said
it.
Okay.
Mason Graham from Michigan mm-hmm. is a
the defensive high, tackle.
But he's a defensive tackle, which
the corner from Michigan.
Will Johnson.
Will Johnson.
So those guys are up there. If you like Luther Burden out of Missouri, he's mm-hmm. probably a top 10 pick, but maybe not in that same class as the very top. And the offensive lineman in this draft, Titans need a right tackle, obviously. But from what I've heard,
there's
on
only one.
Banks and Campbell are the two offensive linemen at the top. And from what I've heard, mm-hmm. Campbell projects as a guard.
No, let's not go there.
I think we'll
go with that.
You're our LSU guy, right? Will Campbell is David. He's shorter arms.
Yeah, yeah, he's shorter arms.
Kind of Pete Skoronski.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, hey, a guard.
Yeah,
he's a left tackle, but he's a guard.
Yeah, I don't think the Titans are going to go get either of those offensive linemen. Likely a guy at the top of the second round. Minnesota is Ariante Ursary, I believe is his name. That's a guy that I would keep an eye on at the top of the second round, because I think that is kind of, no matter what the Titans do in the first round, I think you have to go tackle in the second round mm-hmm. because where else are you going to find a right tackle? There's not going to be a great one out there in free agency. I don't think there's somebody who's worth taking it as the first overall pick or wherever you trade back to. So hopefully a tackle falls to 35. Because that's pretty much, I would say, the only spot the Titans are going to find a solid right tackle in this offseason. 615-737-1025. We see your texts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going to get to those in just a minute here. As we continue to talk Titans, Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan today. Derek Mason here on DVD, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Predators home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. as they get ready for Predators and Blackhawks tomorrow night. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason in today on DVD. Talking Titans draft scenarios here, which I think that's going to be a staple at the station for the next 3 months as we get ready for the draft up in Green Bay. D-Mace, see some texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I saw an interesting one from John in Nashville. Without a change at quarterback, the strength of our pass rush is a minor need. We were talking about Abdul Carter and maybe him as an option for the Titans. And that's a good point. You look back at the divisional game 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. Against the Bengals. Titans sacked Joe Burrow 9 times, mm-hmm. but the quarterback threw 3 picks and they lost. It does seem like without competent quarterback play, the other holes on the roster are a little bit of a smaller deal, and we've seen it with the Commanders this year. Didn't change a whole lot in their roster, but they found the quarterback, and now they're playing in the second weekend of the playoffs this week.
Yeah, listen, that's more than have to battle. If you got a competent quarterback, a quarterback that can lead you to victories. Now there are only so many few special quarterbacks
yeah.
that can uplift and consistently be that guy for you for your franchise. But if you can have more than competent play, good play by a quarterback, that sort of have to battle. Listen, look at Sam Darnold. He's not great. He's not bad. That's competent, good quarterbacking, and see where the Minnesota Vikings ended up. Now, they had an early exit. I get it. And he didn't play well the last 2 weeks. But throughout the season, he had been playing really good football. So that's half the battle. You mentioned the Commanders. They got really good play from their quarterback.
Yeah.
A team that over the last 3 seasons, probably longer than that, has been horrid,
yeah.
you know. But they get the quarterback position right. And what happens?
Everything turns around.
Exactly. So I understand there are you know, teams that hasn't happened to. Obviously, Indianapolis Colts, you know, you're in Sir Richardson. It hasn't started off the way they would have liked it to. But then you look at Chicago. It hadn't started off the way they thought it would, even having who they believe is their franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
So, to me, if you solve the quarterback issue for the Tennessee Titans, that's half your battle right there.
And you make a good point with Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Think of in the last 15 years, there's probably been three, and the term generational gets thrown around too often because generational is once in a generation. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the generational quarterback prospects, I'm trying to think of more than three, but Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. I think those are the three that everybody and their mom was basically like, yeah, that guy is going to be a star.
The last 10 years, I would say.
Yeah, since Luck got drafted, I think those are the three. And Andrew Luck, yes, he retired early, so there's other stuff there, the injuries.
They beat him up.
But the Colts played in one AFC championship while he was there. Mm-hmm. That was the Deflategate game. Trevor Lawrence, they've been to the playoffs one time, and it was only because the Titans lost their last seven games of the season. Mm-hmm. And Caleb Williams, long way to go with Caleb Williams, obviously, but he didn't come in and set the world on fire like he was supposed to. So even with quote-unquote generational quarterback prospects, it's still throwing darts when you're picking quarterbacks towards the top of the draft.
Yeah, because to me, I look as generational as a guy that people predicted so much from at each level, high school, college, and then the NFL, and they have succeeded at each level. I don't see Tom Brady as a generational quarterback. I didn't see Drew Brees as a generational quarterback.
Yeah.
I didn't see sort of Peyton Manning in a sense as a now he got there. I get it.
Right.
But when you step underneath center, it takes off right away. It took Manning that full year, and then obviously the next year he sort of took off. But I don't think we, at least to my knowledge, we were not screaming generational for Peyton Manning. Now, we're screaming damn good. Yes.
Yeah.
But there, like you said, there's only been a handful, three quarterbacks within since 97, that I would say people came in and said, that's a generational guy right there.
As soon as you find out you have the number one pick, you can turn the card into Roger Goodell. Like, that's the guy.
Like, everybody knew that's the guy they were picking. Like, no matter what. Trevor Lawrence was that guy. Andrew Luck was that guy. And then Caleb Williams was that guy. There was no question who was the number one guy in those years.
In 2011, the year before Luck came out, there was Suck for Luck was like it was a big thing. Teams were trying to lose for Andrew Luck because he was that good. Curtis Painter started for the Colts that entire year. Peyton Manning was hurt. But the Colts let Peyton Manning hit free agency before he was through his entire prime. He threw for 50-something touchdowns the next year because Andrew Luck was that good. Mm-hmm. None of these quarterbacks are that good. But there's a difference between generational and number one overall picks. Mm-hmm. We've seen plenty of number one overall picks. Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield. Thinking back through
Miles Garrett,
yeah, but quarterbacks,
Jared Goff,
Jameis Winston. So, like, you've got all these guys who, not generational talents, but number one picks. Some of them work out, some of them don't. Mm-hmm. It's just, do you believe that quarterback is the guy? But I can't see the Titans sticking at number one and taking a Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, because that doesn't set you up to find your franchise quarterback. What does is picking one or trading back and getting assets to find one in the future. Let's get to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got a few callers waiting patiently. Let's start with Mark from Nashville. Mark, go ahead.
All right. What's up, Jake from State Farm? G-Mate.
What's going on?
Hey, let's just scrap the segment with Hutton today. I'm taking Hutton's place.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I'm gonna be talking to y'all from here on out, man. Hutton can't make it today.
We love it. All right.
Hey, Jake and G-Mate, y'all left out one quarterback. You know, he's been kind of talked about here lately. You know, I'm kind of watching. That's Kyle McCord of Syracuse. Led the nation in passing. Mm-hmm. Almost threw for 5,000 yards from Syracuse. I mean, that may be a good quarterback for the Titans to look at maybe in the second or third round, you know, just to have for a bridge guy instead of going out here getting that veteran like a Sam Darnold, which I think his stock has dropped a whole lot since these last two games, especially the other night. But I think what you were saying earlier about them trading back, getting a Carter, getting a defensive player, establish some picks, they're going to have to do that because, like D-May said, hey, they need players. They need a lot of players on that squad. And if I was them this offseason, when camp starts again, I'd go out here and get me 10 or 11 offensive linemen, sign them as free agents. Somebody out of that bunch has got to be pretty decent, pretty good. And that's what I would do. They got to build from the inside out, not the outside in, and to establish something. Because they need an offensive line very bad. And then I'd go get that running back out of Arizona State. I'd go get Scatterboo. So that's what you need, man. That's what you need. He could be a Derrick Henry type. Now, I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry. But they need that bruiser, that guy that'll get those tough yards for them and stuff. But, hey, man, y'all have a good day. Hey, Jake, next time you do a commercial, think about Mark, okay?
Okay. Yes. Thank you for the call,
hey,
Mark.
See you later. See you later, D-May.
All right. Have a good one.
It's a good call from Mark.
Yeah.
And I do love Cam Scatterboo. I don't know if the Titans are going to use a high draft pick on a running back. You've already used a top 100 pick on Tajay Spears. You've already paid Tony Pollard $8 million a year. But Cam Scatterboo, that dude is a bowling ball with legs.
Yeah, he did earn himself potentially some extra money. He did earn himself potentially upward movement in the draft. I don't know where he was slated to be drafted before. Watching him play and him having that huge game against Texas. But I'm sure he's helped himself a lot, within the draft. But listen, if you feel, meaning the Tennessee Titans, if you feel that one of these quarterbacks is your guy, then go ahead, do what you need to do to get one of these guys. And I'm talking Shador or Cam Ward. But if not, I wonder this, Titan fans, do you trust? And we don't know who the GM is going to be. And listen, regardless of what Brinker said, doesn't say he was a part of drafting Will Levis, okay? He was a part of it. That,
yep.
That whole regime was a part of drafting Will Levis. Now, who actually gave the nod, the last say, I'm not sure. But all of y'all were in the room and all of y'all discussed Will Levis and y'all chose to draft him in the second round. Do you want Brinker and whoever the sort of ghost GM, do you expect, because it doesn't seem like Cali may get a lot of say in it, but do you trust them to, if they don't get one of these quarterbacks in the first round, Shador or Cam, do you trust them to say, okay, we moved out of the first pick, now we got all these picks, now we can draft a quarterback in the second round. Do you trust them to go out after what you've seen from Will Levis? Do you trust them to go out and be able to evaluate a quarterback and draft a quarterback in the second round or third round and that guy becoming, the guy for you moving forward? That's the question, because they may end up like that. They may end up moving out of the number one spot, not being able to get a Shador Sanders or Cam Ward, but then guys like Jackson Dart, Milrose, Rourke, guys like that are still in the Jennings from
SMU.
SMU. Guys like that are still being in the draft. Do you trust that they're going to evaluate them well enough to kid from Syracuse that they're going to pick the right guy in the second or the third round?
I like Kyle McCord.
Well, they don't have a third round pick right now.
Right, yeah.
Second round?
But if you trade back,
yeah,
hopefully you're getting
you get a third,
getting
round.
A third
exactly.
round pick. I like Kyle McCord. I think he's a good player. But you've already done the, oh, well, this guy fell down the board, let's take him twice, mm-hmm, with Malik Willis and Will
Levis.
You've
exactly.
already done it.
I didn't even throw Malik in there.
You've done it twice. I said earlier that picking quarterbacks in the top 10 can be like throwing darts. Picking quarterbacks outside of the first round is like walking into a dark room blindfolded, having to find the dartboard, and then throwing a dart. Like, you're just throwing it randomly. How many quarterbacks?
If you hit after all of that, good Lord.
How many quarterbacks outside of the first round end up being franchise quarterbacks? I'm trying to think through the league right now. Mm. Jalen Hurts was a second round pick. Dak was a fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But you look through the guys who are franchise quarterbacks getting second contracts with these teams. they're all first-round picks. Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Bo Nix, Tua, Josh Allen. Like, the list goes on and on. I'm going division by division. All of the quarterbacks who you think are guys and are going to stay with their team for a while, they were first-round picks outside of maybe two or three. So picking a quarterback outside of the first round is about as random as you can be. Yeah, you could hit on a Brock Purdy, but more than likely you're taking Cole McDonald, and he's going to be cut by training camp.
Exactly.
Maybe not in the second or third round, obviously, but like you're not going to find your franchise quarterback outside of the first round unless you are ridiculously lucky. Mm-hmm. Let's get to Brandon on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brandon, what you got for us?
You didn't mention DVD.
Yes, go ahead.
In the DVD. And who's going to win the Super Bowl?
What was that, Brandon?
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I mean,
you can. My hunch would be I'm betting between.
Go Ravens.
Everybody that's still in it.
I mean, there are 8 teams left.
And I can see all 8 teams being. I can see the Lions being in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I would say Rams and Texans are Rams, the two that I'm iffy on. But and probably Commanders, too. I don't see Jaden Daniels going and winning the Super Bowl in his first year. But,
so how would you rank them based upon our callers asking a question? How would you rank them? I would rank them from this standpoint: Baltimore, Detroit, Kansas City. Who else?
There's Eagles.
Eagles,
you're right. Bills, Ravens.
So I would say Ravens, Eagles, Kansas City, or Ravens, Eagles, Lions, Kansas City. And then everybody else.
Yeah, I think
those are my top four.
Yeah, I think there are 5 with a chance, and 2 of them play each other this week.
Exactly.
So,
then you got to throw Buffalo. I keep forgetting about Buffalo
and Baltimore. Yeah. It's tough to pick because that might be one of the best divisional games that we get in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, the two MVP favorites going at it for a chance to play in the AFC Championship game. We did get the Chiefs-Bills divisional game a few years ago, which was a classic, the 7 seconds game from the Chiefs to send it to OT.
Oh, man. But, was it 7 seconds or 13 seconds?
13 seconds, yeah, that's what it was. Seconds, yeah. Yes. But just excited for that one. I would put both of those, whoever wins that game, true Super Bowl contender.
Exactly.
Eagles are for sure in there. Lions are for sure in there. But I just, until the Chiefs lose,
I understand.
The only quarterbacks to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, Joe Burrow, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's the end of the list. Tom Brady isn't coming out of the booth, and Joe Burrow's sitting at home on his couch. So until somebody beats Mahomes, I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes.
I get it.
Good question from Brandon. It took a second for us to understand it, but good question from Brandon. Let's get to Wes from Hermitage on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes, go ahead.
Oh, all right, guys. I just wanted to talk about a draft concern that I have, and I just wanted y'all's opinions on it. When I watched that Penn State game, all I could think about was Sweat, Simmons, and Carter, all on that defensive line, just balling out. And then I start hearing, you know, the talks of potential Jeffrey Simmons being traded to the Patriots, and I don't know if there's, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire, but I don't know how much fire is actually going on over there. My concern is this. If y'all remember not too long ago, we felt the same way about A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks. Oh, we're just going to get rid of A.J. Brown, and we're going to draft Treylon Burks because he's going to come in here and he's going to produce just like him. It'll be like A.J. never left. Do you think that there's a possibility that Vrabel reaches out to the Titans and says, hey, we're going to give you X, Y, and Z for Jeffrey Simmons, and then the Titans counter that with saying, well, yeah, we're going to ship Jeffrey Simmons off, but it's okay because we're going to get Carter, and he's going to ball out just like Simmons did. And if that's the case, I'm not willing to risk that. I either want Jeffrey Simmons and Carter on the same line together, or I don't want necessarily just to get Carter. At that point, I'd rather go get somebody different. So what are y'all's thoughts on that?
Thank you, Wes. We appreciate it. Listen, I'm not sure if Amy wants to do Vrabel any favors.
I agree with that.
So I would tend to think that She wouldn't even take the phone call, or she would advise, no, we're not doing business with Mike Vrabel. Now, if they listen, if they offer up the world, then okay, we can talk. But if they're offering just the, you know, basic what you would offer for a guy, and I would keep him. And like Wes said, I would keep him. And then if I have an opportunity once I move out of number one pick, if that's what they choose to do, if I got an opportunity to draft Abdul Carter, I'm going to team up Abdul Carter, Big Sweat in the middle, and Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry, and we're going to go that way. That sounds damn. Just think about that defensive line.
Yeah.
Simmons, Sweat, Landry, and Abdul Carter. Wow.
The Tennessee Tickle Monsters would be back.
Wow.
It's
I'm talking myself into moving out of this number one spot even more and drafting Abdul Carter somehow, some way, along with another player.
I think I would be I think you'd have to get the Giants' first-round pick. You've got to tell the Giants, like, hey, we like these quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We'll take one. But if you give us your first this year, so move back to three, mm-hmm. your first next year, we'll do it. Because I don't think the Giants are going to be very good no matter what next year.
No. So, and they're going to be looking for a quarterback, I'm sure.
And if you leave Thursday night of the draft with an extra first-round pick and Abdul Carter, that's a win.
Yes.
That is 100% a win. But I don't know if the Giants would be willing to do that. And you also don't know exactly what the Titans' thoughts are on these quarterbacks. But it is the Jeffrey Simmons thing is interesting because do I think it might be a good idea for the Titans to listen on Jeffrey Simmons? Sure. Mm-hmm. But I think you'd have to get a haul. And like Wes said, it's a very good point. The Titans tried to get very cute mm-hmm. with A.J. Brown and say, guess what? We can get another wide receiver in here who's just as good and much cheaper. This is the same organization that for 10 to 15 years, mm-hmm. completely whiffed on every wide receiver that they took. You go through Kenny Britt, Kendall Wright, mm-hmm. Dorial Green-Beckham, Justin Hunter. The list goes on and on. Taywan Taylor. You took all these guys. None of them turned – Corey Davis. None of them turned into stars. You finally find a guy who is a superstar at wide receiver, and you get cute and try and replace him with somebody, and you whiff again. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Titans should do that with Jeffrey Simmons. But if they give you – a first and a third for Jeffrey Simmons, deal. Like, I'd take that every day of the week.
If it's New England, you got to throw something else in there. Yeah, Even though I'm not doing business with New England, you got to come with more than just a first and a third.
I agree with that. I don't think, like you said, I don't think Amy wants to do Vrabel any favors. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get to your texts and calls. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan today. DVD here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores take on South Carolina inside Memorial Gym with a 5 o'clock tip-off. Pre-game show starts at 4:30. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Vanderbilt men's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium February 5th through March 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason with you today on DVD. Let's get back to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim is up next with a thought on the draft. Tim, what you got for us?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Derek, you were talking about Brinker was in draft room and everything when they picked Levis, and you said, do you trust them and the new GM to make – if you don't trust them to make this decision, why are they in this job?
Yeah, you got a point there. I don't disagree with you. I was asking it more so for the fan base.
That's my whole point. Yeah. If you look at our history in drafts, it sucks.
Hey, listen, you're not saying anything that's wrong.
No, and when you go out in the first round, and we did it 2 or 3 years in a row, drafted people that could not play that were injured, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Injured or jumping off college dorm room balconies.
One of the three.
And you're talking about quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and when you talk about Shador and you talk about Cam, are they going to be the type quarterback that's going to lead the Titans? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's going to that's the big question. Thanks a lot, Tim. That's the big question, whether you draft – and that's the question in every draft. because every draft, at least one team is in the market for a franchise quarterback. Now, there may be not as many questions with certain guys in certain years, but the fact still remains. Just because I draft this guy first overall or he's my first round pick doesn't mean that no matter how much intel I have on this individual, that still doesn't mean he's going to be a hit in what I need for my franchise. It's a roll of the dice.
And quarterback is always a much riskier position.
Now, because, you want to take a calculated risk,
right?
Yes.
Because quarterback is the most important position on the field.
Exactly.
And you have to get it right, and you got a much better shot picking first overall than you do anywhere else. But it's a much riskier position than taking Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, who look like they're probably going to be Pro Bowl-level players within their first couple of years in the league. Nothing's a guarantee, but there's a much higher chance taking a defensive lineman, a cornerback, that those guys are going to pan out than at quarterback. I was just going through Titans' first-round draft picks, and I know this exercise has been done plenty of times looking at the Titans' drafts. We'll exclude Peter Skoronski and J.C. Latham because the jury's still out on them.
Yes.
But from 2008, so Chris Johnson was drafted in 2008. He got a second contract, obviously. Mm-hmm. From 2009 to 2022, the Titans have made 15 first-round picks. Guess how many have gotten second contracts with the Titans?
Oh, man. Out of the 15, five?
One?
Three.
Wow.
Three of them. Jeffrey Simmons. Taylor Lewan.
Yes.
Derek Morgan. That's it.
They're first-round picks. Yeah, you're right. They're first-round picks because I'm still thinking guys, but they're not in the first round. Conklin didn't. He wasn't a second.
Conklin, I think, would be the exception of the others.
But they end up
– pretty much everybody else has been a bust. Like, Kendall Wright was solid here and there. Corey Davis obviously was solid. But Jack Conklin is the only one who left the Titans without a second contract and actually has had success somewhere else.
Exactly. And you know, the caller was right in regards to their draft picks. And this is one of the reasons, not the sole reason, but this is one of the reasons why the Titans are in the situation they're in now is because, and again, we've litigated this, you know, at least 30 shows. It is probably even more across these airwaves. So that's there. We understand what happened. But when you haven't drafted well, regardless of who drafted them, eventually it will catch up with you. No one looks at it when you're winning. Nobody looks at it when you're winning. But then all of a sudden when you start losing, it's like, well, where did this come from? Well, had you been paying attention to the Tennessee Titans over the last 5, 6, 7 years, you should have seen this coming. It's sort of like reading the stock market, those guys that are really good at reading the stock market and predicting. If they came to you and say, man, I didn't. It was like, isn't that your job?
Yeah, to know.
To know the sort of the, you know, how the market is going, you know, the ebbs and flows of the market. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Titans, your scouting department, isn't that what you're supposed to know, that eventually if we don't get this right, it's going to end up being what it is now?
Yes.
And they didn't get it right.
And it is funny that you say that because it's true. It's like as fans, it's like just your average investor. Like maybe you see an earnings report or something from a company. You're like, you know what? I'm going to buy stock in that. You have no idea. You're just going off of basic information. For me, I can watch film of Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and say, oh, that was a good play. But I don't know what I'm looking for. Like, exactly. I'm not an expert on QB play. These guys are supposed to be experts. And when you have three drafts like they did from 2020 to 2022, that is horrid. Like, that's just – and – Rand Carthon didn't really flip over the scouting department at all.
No,
right?
he kept and I wonder if the new GM, whoever that person is, will they then flip the scouting department?
Right.
Because you gotta listen, a lot of these guys and girls have been in their scouting departments for a very long time.
Yeah.
So when that's why I think Rand didn't want to come in and start, you know, redoing, because it takes time to sort of build whatever you got going within those mechanisms you have going on within the scout. It takes a long time to kind of build that back up. So you just don't want to come in and start, you know, dismantling everything. One or two people, yes. And that's what Rand did. I think he had one guy that he brought on board, maybe two. But Brinker has to be thinking the same thing with whoever the new GM is coming in. Am I going to go in and start messing with all of the scouting? Or am I going to go in and say, this is how we're looking at it. We're looking at it different now, guys, as opposed to trying to get a, you know, five or six new scouts. That's sort of difficult, I would think.
And the timing makes it tough, too, because when you bring in a new GM, like Rand Carthon gets hired in mid-January, that's middle of scouting season. Like, that's if you are going to fire scouts in January, you're going to have a bad draft because all of that work that they've done, you have to replace it and get guys in coming late. So you're not going to do it right when you're hired. You're going to do it after the draft. And at that point, you've built some relationships with these people. Maybe it's hard. We'll see if maybe after this year's draft, we see some of the scouting churn with Chad Brinker and whoever the new GM is. But we talked about it. The drafting, it's been bad, and it's not just first-round picks. In 16 and 17, you got players like Jonnu Smith and Taywan Taylor, who, not great, but a contributor. Jayon Brown, Austin Johnson was good for a few years. Obviously, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, Tajay Sharp. Like, all these guys made impacts. There was nothing in 2020 through 2022. So that's where the Titans are right now. They need a good draft this year. They're set up with the number one pick heading into April. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get to your texts and calls on the other side. Hour number three coming up. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, DVD, 1025-1063, The Game.